Hey everyone, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode, we're going to talk about crisis and how to manage a crisis when you're running a startup.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
And we want you to do your best.
Yeah. And this topic came up just because I have some friends going through a bunch of crisis, and you know, I'm not going to even mention what they are, anything like that. And what I realized is that whether I haven't really thought about it on my end about, is there a framework or is there some way that I try to deal with it myself or help somebody through it? But what I realized is there's always patterns, right? When you're helping people with a crisis. So, you know, and for context, I know we talked about how to shut down your company recently.
Yeah.
So I wanted to sort of broaden it and say, you know, crisis happens all the time. I'll mention some that have happened in my companies. These are all Kissmetrics ones, and then we can get into kind of how to deal with it because I've definitely had to learn the hard way. One of the first problems that happened at Kissmetrics was that in about, I think it was 2011. Yeah, it was my 30th birthday. So it was like a day or two before, or right on the day, I don't remember. We got hit with a class action lawsuit that was us and 25 customers. And I know I've talked about this off and on. And in that case, it was a crisis. Like you basically are, you know, out of nowhere, sideswiped, you know, almost like a car accident, a really bad one. And you're sitting there, the car's flipped over. You're probably generally okay, let's say in this case, because nobody got hurt, but you have all this stuff to deal with, right? Maybe there's someone else in the car, they got hurt or whatever. So those are the kind of things it feels like it came out of nowhere and you're shocked. So that's one example. Another example is a few years later, we actually had our lead investor at Kissmetrics, who was on our board, basically leave his firm. So what happens when that happens and you raise money is that your company becomes orphaned. And it really depends on the rest of the partnership to pick it up and say, oh, we're going to support you or not. And that can be a really, you know, a crisis moment. And another one, which never really happened to us, but I've commonly dealt with it with founders, is when like their largest customer leaves them and that customer makes up 30, 40% of revenue. And obviously you're banking on that kind of revenue. And that one's kind of easy. You know, I'm sure Stelly, you'd say something like this, which is like, well, why'd you get in a situation where that customer takes up so much of your revenue that if you lose them, you're screwed? So there's a lot of, and in all of these, there's a lot of preventative stuff you can do. So we can even get into that side of it. And with that, I'll stop and see what you have on this topic, because obviously I want to hear what you have.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is like the thing I was thinking about as you were explaining kind of these different scenarios is that what, like even asking the question, what makes something a crisis in the first place, right? Because there's lots of challenges. There's lots of problems that a business has. But what qualifies a situation as a true crisis? And as you were describing these things, and we had an episode, episode 84, we talked about firefighting. And I was even like in my mind distinguishing what would you label kind of a fire in the business versus a crisis. And from what I heard, if I try to define a business crisis, the elements of it would definitely be kind of very sudden. And then like both sudden, it's urgent, and it's very important. Like you can't ignore it. And the consequences are kind of quote unquote life or death in the business context. Like a customer leaves that makes up 50% of your revenue. That's a life or death moment for the business. You know, you're being sued. It's a life or death moment for the business. So these are, it's not the same as a really great employee left, or an engineering team has having issues, or the co-founders are fighting. All these things could turn into a crisis, but they're not a crisis if they're not like life or death right now, and it came out of nowhere. Independently from if the quote-unquote nowhere was something that still people could see coming, or you could have done prevented by anticipating it, but it pops out, it surprises you, and it's kind of a life or death moment. Would that be is that a definition that makes sense to you?
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, and oftentimes it's like you get hit with it and you think it's a life or death moment, right? So in hindsight, all of those things that I mentioned, none of them, actually the company's still around, so none of them would have killed the company, right? And did kill the company. It's still around.
Yeah.
It definitely hurt growth in the company, you know, in huge ways. So I wouldn't argue with that. But in the moment, and for days, sometimes weeks after, it felt like, you know, we were going to die. Like this thing's done. And yet you're still in it and you have all these responsibilities to investors, if you have them, your team, obviously, and you know, your customers, which is kind of a pattern we've always talked about, you know, and those responsibilities end up what bubble up to your mind. And then you're like, oh my God, you know, so that's another layer of it. So I would say, first of all, if any of those things ever happened to me again, or even other things that I immediately felt like, oh, we're done, I would step back and be like, wait, we've been done before and we weren't done, you know? And what my goal of this episode is really to give people better tools around not feeling like that and making sure that they understand they can get through it, you know, and whatever's going to happen, they can accept. Because unless you can accept that there's a, in this scenario, there's a bunch of stuff you can control and a whole bunch of stuff you can't, I don't think you get to a good place. And so there's a bunch of those things that I've been thinking about. But really, it's about having better tools when you're hit with a crisis. And your definition of crisis is spot on, except for one thing, which is it's probably not as bad as you think.
All right. So let's talk about the tools. And funny enough, like in episode 119, which was a recent one, we talked about kind of you launch a product and no one bought, what now is the title of the episode. But the inspiration for it was really a founder that thought she was in a crisis. And after a conversation, it turned out it's not quite a crisis yet. Like there's definitely a challenge. It's definitely something that was a launch and a certain expectation of what would happen in terms of conversion numbers and how many people would buy and become customers. And that didn't manifest. So that's definitely something that needs to be addressed. But it's not like the company had enough money in the bank, and there's still lots of opportunities, assets, and things, and time. So it was not life or death right now. And the founder at first felt like that. So even just realizing that it isn't a crisis, like, so first let's talk about the how do you know it's a crisis, and then if it's truly a crisis, how do you deal with it? What are the tools for you to actually like work through it?
Yeah, so I think there's really simple stuff like, is this going to matter in X amount of time? So a week from now, is this still going to matter? A month from now, is this still going to matter? 6 months from now, how important is this going to be? Right? So some of those things, depending on obviously the crisis you feel like you're in, can help you just calibrate and get back down to earth. Obviously, another tactic would be just tell someone, you know, who is somewhat independent of the situation, who you feel like is a stable person, right? Somebody who kind of either has been through a lot of, you know, hardship or crisis, or is someone who just is your rock, you know, like your mother, father, grandma, sometimes relative, best friend, whoever, and just tell them what happened. Sometimes you might want to immediately do that just so that you can calibrate yourself about how bad is this. So most of the tactics I would suggest first are to determine how bad is this really? Is it worse than I think or better than I think? Because sometimes these crises are actually worse than you might think, and you don't want to ignore that either. And without having some outside independent perspective, it can often be hard to get out of your own head.
Yeah, I love that. So step number one, bringing somebody as a sounding board, maybe that's independent, you know, maybe that doesn't have any kind of direct stakes in your company. Ideally, that has a lot of experience, maybe also with a real crises at their company, and just find people to be a sounding board and to get some feedback on that and get some calibration on your reaction. Let's say that, and then I like the tool of like, you know, is this still going to matter in a certain amount of timeline? One thing that I would add to that is just the question, okay, if we don't deal with this problem in a long enough timeline in a business, if you don't deal with some fundamental problem, it might turn into like the end of the business. But how long is that timeline? If you're like, okay, if we don't deal with this in the next 3 years, we're going to be done. That's not a crisis, right? Versus if we don't deal with this, we have 3 weeks left. Now that's a crisis, right? If the amount of time you have to fix the problem, to fix the issue is fairly short and the consequences are basically life or death for the business, I think that qualifies for it. So let's say somebody goes through kind of these calibration methods and figures out, yes, we're in a real crisis. We don't do something about this problem. Our business is going to be done in whatever, in a month, in 2 months. Let's take the scenario. I like that actually, the scenario of, you know, our biggest customer canceled and we basically got a massive drop of 50% of revenue, and with all these employees and we don't have enough money to finance the business for longer than 2 months, how do we fix this, right? But it could be any situation. It could also be the, like, you're being sued. It's just that I feel like people are not, most startups are not being sued as much as they lose a really big important customer. But I might be wrong. I don't have any real research on this. But what's kind of the action steps when you are in a crisis? What are the tools you use, or what are the steps you take to deal with it? Because it seems like, you know, whenever I observe a crisis, it seems like there's some people that seem to snap into a sense of direction. Like they just take over the wheel and they are like, all right, this is, we need to do A, B, C, and D. And this is the decisions that we need to figure out. And this is the steps we need to take. These are the people we need to talk to. This is the timelines we have to get all this done. Let's go. There's some people that seem to know how to snap into like a frame of mind that's really productive to turn something around or fix a crisis, versus many people in a crisis, they freeze, right? They just literally, not just they don't do the right thing, they just don't do anything. And they don't know what to do because it feels so overwhelming. They're so scared maybe of that moment, the holy shit, we're going to be done in a month if we don't fix this. Oh my God. And then they just freeze. So what makes the difference between people that snap into action and that freeze? And what are the tools we can give to people so that more people can snap into action and manage a crisis successfully?
Wow. I think it's, you know, there's a line, I don't know who said it, but it's basically like, it's never as bad as it seems. And it's never as good as it seems either. Yeah. And so that kind of thing comes to mind, which is like, I'll tell you what happens. One of my friends is in a pretty big crisis right now, and him and his partner are like pacing around their room, you know. And I was on the phone with him, and this is what actually was one of the things that caused me to want to discuss this with you. And I just told him to go for a walk. I said, "Stop pacing around the room. Go outside. Go for a walk." And right away, my friend's like, "Yeah, I'm going to go take my dog. We're going to take my dog for a walk." And that's what they needed to hear. That's what they needed to do, because you're pacing around your house and room. All you're thinking about is basically all these things that you can't control, all these what ifs. So you got to kind of like get rid of the what ifs. So one approach you can take, you know, obviously go walk, and that'll probably at least help you calm down. But when you come back and you're done with that, like, you know, you can get out of your own head basically, or your own heads, then sit down and write all those what ifs, right? Write all those things that might happen that are, you know, that you think are going to happen in your head, write them down and go actually, you know, put reality against them and say, well, out of all these things that might happen, what are likely to happen? What are things we can actually control and change? And I think I would start having whatever tools, whatever tactics you can use to get out of your head, put it on paper, put it, you know, on your computer, and literally start actually trying to calculate and understand like what's actually going on. Am I overreacting about this? And then the most powerful thing, and I know I might be skipping ahead on this, is like, what can I do about it right now? And is there anything I can do about it right now? Because if the answer is no, you can't do anything about it right now, then like take the day off, go do something else. You know, usually there's one single next step you can take. For example, when we got hit with that class action lawsuit, after I went for a walk and wrote some stuff down, talked to some people on the team and, you know, all that, the one obvious thing was, let's go find the best lawyers. Let's go find the best lawyers. And what we ended up finding is the lawyers, because we asked our friends and really got into action, and we found lawyers who had defended companies against these class action lawsuits from the same exact folks. And they weren't cheap, but we found them. And as a result, like 2 years later, we actually had the best outcome we could have possibly had considering our business and all that stuff. But it was 2 years later. So, you know, it sucked. But, you know, what was only one action to take? Find the best lawyer and get their advice and start paying them. We had no other option at that point. And we know, and in that case, we had the cash. We didn't have the cash allocated to that problem, you know? But once we started getting there, we talked to lawyers. They're like, "Do you have insurance?" "Actually, yeah, we do have liability insurance." "Great." Then we went in and looked at the liability insurance stuff. You know, and this was the first time something like that's happened. Nobody else had told us about, you know, looking into our liability insurance. Somebody, we had gotten lucky years ago and gotten liability insurance in that company. So one tip, if you've got a business or making some amount of money that's, you know, in a reasonable range, go figure out how to get some simple business liability insurance. It's thousands of dollars a year, not that much money actually in the grand scheme of things. And it can really help you. We had good coverage and all that. And that insurance was definitely something we had a battle with, but they were extremely helpful in that situation. So, you know, I would say that like there's always a single next step or absolutely nothing you can do, and you just have to wait. And getting to that is really important, as fast as possible.
Yeah, I like that. So there's a number of things here that I want to comment on or add on. So first of all, I love that picture of like two people, two founders, like pacing around a room in circles, and kind of the metaphorical problem that it creates for the mind to come up with solutions when you feel trapped in a room, right? You're just walking around, you feel like you're walking in circles. It's stupid, but sometimes like if you're hit with a crisis, a lot of times your first response will be an emotional one, and that emotion will translate into a physical response, right? You will feel something in your gut. You will feel horrible, depressed. It will manifest itself in a physical way for you. So sometimes the best first thing in order to think clearly and be able to address the issue is to make sure that you are putting your body back into a state where it can like think clearly and fix things. So going to the gym or going on a run or even going on a long walk, get fresh air, be out of the office, out of that kind of boxed environment, that in itself seems trivial, but it can make a dramatic difference, right? If you're all curled up in a corner and you're physically feeling horrible, it's going to be almost impossible to come up with a good solution in that physical space. So although it sounds like it's trivial, I do think it's important sometimes to make sure you're physically in a good state so you can be mentally at a good state to come up with solutions and fix things. So I love that.